When we experience milestones in our life, it is often a time for reflection. I recently celebrated my 60th birthday, and unlike my 30th, 40th, and 50th birthdays, 60 seems to be a rather serious milestone, marking a transition to something like late adulthood. So what I'm going to be talking about this evening is sort of my process of experiencing this particular milestone in my life. My name is Ryoshin. I'm a senior student here at the Village Zendo, and it's good to see you. I know some faces, but not all. So as I was approaching and passing through this milestone, I found myself reflecting on mortality, the passage of time, opportunities come and gone, and thinking about the future in a way that I don't do very often. You know, what's ahead of you when you're 30 sort of has this feeling of being your whole life. And what's ahead of you when you're 60 no longer has that same feeling. And I'm very fortunate to, you know, to have a lot of wonderful friends and family. And so I got lots of words of encouragement from people in cards and on Facebook and so on, from people who are older than me, you know, telling me that 60 is a lovely time, you know, looking back from 70 or older. 60 is not even senior, it's actually late middle age. Okay. It's only a number, as they say, right? And my favorite, age is just mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. Kind of like that one. That one was actually from my wife's grandmother and a cousin of hers. This grandmother was filled with all of these little ditties. So age is just mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. She was filled with a million of these, and that we were pleased to be reminded of that one. Since this practice is ultimately about the most basic questions of human existence, about life and death, turning 60 is really, for me, a profound opportunity to look at who I am at this particular moment of my life. And of course, it's a wonderful springboard for a Dharma talk. So here we are. So as I was thinking about this mind over matter question, this question of life and death, I came across a lovely passage by Dogen Zenji from the Genji Koan. And so I'll actually read this and then use it as a springboard for the rest of the talk. Firewood becomes ash, does not become firewood again. However, we should not hold to the view that ash is after and firewood is before. We should know that firewood dwells in its Dharma position as firewood and has its own past and future. Though it has past and future, it cuts off past and future. Ash is in its Dharma position as ash. And I think I may have read this. Just as this firewood, after it has become ash, does not turn into firewood again, so does a person after death does not take to rebirth. Therefore, we do not say that life becomes death. This is the established way of the Buddha Dharma. For this reason, it is called unborn. Death does not become life. This is the established Buddha turning of the Dharma wheel. For this reason, it is called undying. Life is its own time. Death is its own time. It is like winter and spring. We don't think that winter becomes spring. We don't think that spring becomes summer. So this is a, as is typical with Dogen, kind of a subtle and somewhat confusing passage at first. But he starts off not by talking about our lives, but by talking about something very practical about firewood and ash. And he says at the beginning, firewood becomes ash, does not become firewood again. However, we should not hold to the view that ash is after and firewood was before. We should know that firewood dwells in its dharma position as firewood and has its own past and future. And ash is in its dharma position as ash and has its past and future. So I think in some ways there's a piece of this that is kind of obvious. You know, when you look at a piece of firewood, it is a piece of wood. And after it has burned up completely, it is ash and is never going to be reverting back to the form of firewood again. And yet, that firewood is not a proto-form of ash. It is a piece of firewood, whole and complete as firewood. And that ash is never going to revert back to firewood. It is whole and complete as ash. And Hakuin, who writes about this passage, says that Dogen's language at the beginning, that firewood becomes ash, is actually a little trick. He refers to it as accommodated language. He says the words are arranged in a way to accord with our ordinary way of thinking, to accord with the feelings of an unenlightened person. It's written in such a way that we easily understand it. But what he really means to say, Dogen really means to say, is that firewood does not become ash. He says firewood becomes ash, but what he really means to say is that firewood does not become ash. Firewood is firewood, and ash is ash. And a burning log, a burning piece of firewood, is a burning piece of wood. And in each moment, each of those things is whole and complete in and of itself. And that's what he means when he says we should know that firewood dwells in its dharma position as wood. And again, when he says it has its own past and future, he's putting out a carrot for us, but he's also saying that though it has its own past and future, it cuts off past and future. Because from the mind of an unenlightened being, we have a past and we have a future. But from the mind of an enlightened being, there is no such thing as the past. There is no such thing as the future. There is only this moment. So Dogen is playing with us and teasing us by both holding out something that we think we understand, our ordinary view of the world, but also trying to coax us to kind of a different perspective on reality, what he would say is the truth. And so this saying, but we should not hold to the view that the ash is after and the firewood is before. Well, that is the view that we hold to, isn't it? We think of the ash, first it was firewood and now it's ash. And Hakuin says, well, there we're caught. We're stuck in this ordinary view. But when he says we should not hold to this view, it's actually a blessing to us because it's destroying the sickness of our ordinary mind and forcing us to look at the world anew and to realize that there is no before and after. There is no firewood becoming anything. There is no myself becoming anything. There is only me in this moment as a 60-year-old. So if we apply it maybe in a more concrete way to our ordinary life, we have this delusion of a self. persists across a lifespan. I have memories. I can remember probably as early as when I was 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old. I have emotional responses that still come up in response to things that happened early in my life that seem to substantiate this view that there's this me that's been around for 60 plus years. The kid next door when I was growing up in southwestern Pennsylvania is now a Facebook friend. I have that continuity that persists across these 60 years. My 80-year-old aunt, who knitted the Christmas stocking that hung over the fireplace in our living room on the mantle when I was a kid, is still around. I saw her 2 weeks ago. She's old and hobbling, but she's still there, just as I'm still here. This young man who married a lovely woman 26 years ago is still married to a lovely woman, the same person, after 26 years. So there's an ordinary view that there's this solid self that's changed over the years, that's gotten a little slower, that's gotten a little fatter, but there's still this me, this solid person that persists across this entire span of my life, and that will live for some number of additional years and then will die. Dogen and Hakuin say, this is an upside-down view. Hakuin says, and Dogen say, that in the span of the few minutes that it took me to walk to the bowing mat in front of the altar and to perform 3 bows, and to come and sit on this cushion in front of you, there were 1,000 moments of arising and fading away. Thousands of different persons that are strung together in my consciousness, and thousands of different persons that are strung together in your consciousness that give all of us this perception that there is a solid me. And so my consciousness, my ego, interprets this as me. But it's very much like the flickering light of a motion picture, 30 frames a second, which the retinas in the back of my eye and the brain that interprets the signals from that retina, light, dark, light, dark, light, dark, light, dark, light, dark, we perceive it as a movie. And we laugh at Emma Stone dancing with Ryan Gosling in La La Land, but it's a sequence of still images that we've strung together and interpret as this wonderful experience of a movie. And that is how our consciousness works. And that is the illusion that gives us this sense of solidity. These memories that are stored in this brain that are strung together one after another. But that child of 5 years old is no longer here. And to the extent that I cling to those memories, I'm clinging to those memories right now, because those memories that are being interpreted in the organ that is my brain. But that past is no longer with us. And that future that I dread or I anticipate or I cling to, it's not real. The only thing that is real is that clinging, that fear, that anticipation that I experience in this present moment. And so that's what Dogen is really talking about when he's talking about firewood dwells in its Dharma position as firewood, and ash dwells in its Dharma position as ash. All existence is like a dream, a phantasm, a reflection. Even though we touch it, we see it, we experience it, it has no actual substance. And yet we behave as though it does, and we have these illusions of an actual substance. Dogen goes on to say that we do not say that life becomes death. This is the established way of the Buddha Dharma. We do not say that life becomes death. As long as I'm alive, I'm alive. And at whatever point in this life that I am dying, in those moments I will be dying. Not before. Only in those moments. And when I'm dead, I'm dead. What happened, whatever it was that existed prior to my death is gone and is passed from this world. So we do not say as Buddhists that life becomes death. For this reason, it is called unborn. And we do not say that death becomes life. For this reason, it is called undying. And we can use these two terms interchangeably, unborn, undying, and they can refer both to the vast expanse of this thing that we call a lifespan, or it can refer to the spontaneous arising and falling away in each moment of our life. In Japanese, life and death is shoji. Sho means to live or to be born. Ji means to die or to be dead. And this shoji can have multiple meanings, including the time between birth and death, the entire lifespan of my life. It can refer to the life and death of all beings, or to this arising and passage and passing away of each moment of our lives. So there is no past and future. We may think about our past. We may dwell about our past, but that is not the past. The past is gone. And our dwelling of the past is in this moment. We may think or worry about the future, but there is no future. What exists, exists in this moment. Hakuin cautions us not to allow this way of thinking to cause us to fall into a nihilistic view of things. The view of things where we think or believe in a persistent self and a persistent soul is kind of an eternalistic view. And he refers to that as a false view. But neither must we fall into a nihilistic view and say that nothing yet exists, that there is nothing, that there is no me. Because here I am. Here you are, right in this moment. Right view in our teaching is not to hold on to any concepts, neither the conception of an eternal soul or the concept that a soul doesn't exist. It's just this reality, just this moment, that we are encouraged to be alive to and to be awake to. So, you know, as just reading through this, I encourage you to go off and look at this passage and study it for yourself. That's in the Genja Koan, and Hakuin's commentary is much more insightful and brilliant than I could ever do. But at the end of this examination, I actually was delighted to find that my wife's grandmother's words had much greater wisdom than the little chuckle that I gave them when I first heard it. Age is just mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. So our ideas, our attachments to our age, and that are the thing that complicate life. And what my friends of 70 and 75 and 80, who are looking back at 60, are telling me is that life goes on. From my perspective, you're young. From your perspective, maybe you think you're getting old. But enjoy this moment as it exists right now. Just as I'm enjoying, from the perspective of 75, my life as it is right now. Don't attach to your concepts, Ryoshin. Don't attach to your beliefs. Just live this life as fully as you can. There's no better teaching than that. Thank you.